Good morning, everybody. It's good to see so many people out here, bright and early. You good? Everybody good? Man, worship was so powerful. I was in the side room here just getting my microphone on and checking my batteries and stuff. And man, I kept wanting to come out. And I was like, man, it's just too heavy out here. The power, the Spirit of the Lord was so rich and thick. And then it started coming through the door. So then I don't want to spook you out. But you know, I could just feel His presence so strong in there. And it finally just had to come out here and get a few seconds at the end, but there's something so powerful when we just make it about Him, when we make it about how good He is, and stop complaining about how whatever life happens to be in that given moment. And, it's just something that we have to constantly be aware of, that He is good above and beyond everything that we're looking at, everything that we're experiencing, everything our emotions are feeling at any given time of any given day or week. He is still good. And when we celebrate that and when we declare that and we speak that out, I hope that your soul, your spirit, I hope it was touched and lifted. I hope that there was a perspective that gets reestablished in those moments. And you can do that all week long. You can wake up and discover that His mercies are new every morning by opening His Word, by turning on some worship music. Just let it be about Him for a minute before you take on whatever you've got to take on. And all of a sudden you realize, man, I've got a strength living inside of me because He's alive in me. And all of a sudden, you get through the stuff that everybody else is tripping over and stumbling over. You're soaring through it, and you're just moving in a direction that allows people to see, hey, if we want to get out of here, we can follow these guys. We can follow this person. And that's what this is all about. Coming to church is just about celebrating Jesus. It's about allowing our own leadership to grow, allowing our ability to follow Him to grow and to mature. And so I just want to read some scripture, speaking of maturity. Sometimes I just kind of hit a few scriptures here and there, but I felt this week I really wanted to read something that really had an impact on me from the book of Peter, 1 Peter. Starting right in chapter 1, we're going to read, starting at verse 22 in 1 Peter chapter 1, and get through a little bit of this reading. I don't think it'll take too long, but I just want us to just read a bit of what was on Peter's heart as he's writing this epistle. Because, I mean, he was there. He's the one that got the revelation first of who Jesus really was. He got that revelation, and Jesus told him, I'm going to build a church based on the revelation of who I am, and you're the initial first person. He was the pioneer of what we call church these days. It fell to Peter, and I just love that because Jesus is willing to reveal to any single one of us that we are His plan for planet Earth right now. We are the staying power of His Holy Spirit. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit that go out into this world and begin to shine a light and begin to make a difference. And we've been looking at that. We've been looking at growing up the last few weeks about how it is to mature into the seed that we've been born of. And so I want to just read this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. And I'm going to read this in the New King James Version. Sometimes if you have a different version, it's easier to just listen to me and then it is to try to follow along different words, but you can do whatever you want. But I want to start reading. You ready? Everybody that's going to turn there? All right. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. It's already happened. And you believe, you receive, it's happened. You have been born again in spirit. It's happened. It's an event that's past. You're not trying to recreate something that's already happened. It happened. When you believed and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you received Him as Savior, you've been born again. But listen to the way that you've been born again. It says you've been born again not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You've been born again not of a corruptible seed. We just went to a garden party yesterday hosted by our amazing Debbie Miller, and she did a kids thing for all the kids to be able to come in and plant things, and it was a whole spread. Amazing job she does every year. But they're planting seeds. Seeds looks like a piece of dust. You're just as likely to sweep it up and throw it in the garbage thinking it's a piece of dirt as that it has any value in and of itself. A seed is just contains the recipe for what it's supposed to be. Everybody have a recipe box? I mean, now we can just Google everything and we see something on Facebook. Like, oh, I'm going to make that for dinner tonight. We don't actually go to a recipe handwritten box, but some people still have those. Those cards don't taste very good. If you ever were super hungry, you'd not be able to satisfy your appetite by eating a recipe. It's just paper and ink or pencil or whatever it is. A recipe is just a recipe. It's the instruction manual for how the ingredients need to come together so that what's intended by the written description actually manifests in real life. And then when you put that in your mouth, you want more. And you want people want you to make it for them, and that's what they want you to bring to the party. Everybody's got their favorite recipe, but if you just, I mean, some people, if you're good at cooking, you're happy just to get someone's secret, hidden, locked up recipe. But more than that, you'd rather just show up at their house invited to a meal and sit down and just eat the actual food. But this idea that we've been born again of an incorruptible seed, the idea that Jesus Christ came in a seed form and was born through Mary, that God's not afraid of starting even with his own redemption plan. He brought it through to planet Earth starting as a seed. We have to get to an understanding that not everything in life is just McDonald's. It doesn't just you pull up here and you pull to the next window and then your full meal is in your lap. It doesn't always work that way in the spiritual realms, that we have to realize we're called to grow. We're called to mature, but we're working with things sometimes that are in seedling form. And they begin to grow. And it's important that we're aware of this, that we don't lose our patience, that we don't lose our bearings in the middle of what we're growing into because it's taken longer than we want it to. I'm the only one that ever feels that it's taken longer than we want to, right? We're up there doing some work on the new property that we've secured, and there's a house on it that eventually will become a parsonage, and doesn't look like a parsonage right now, at least not in America. Maybe in India or someplace it'd be an amazing parsonage, but not here. Not with a bunch of kids and a couple of dogs. And so we're working on that. We're making it happen. And I would love to think that we could start on Monday and move in on the weekend. In fact, one of our kids was like, you know, we're going to be able to move in. When are we going to, you know, be able to come into the house? And it was like within a week they're thinking, by church, are we going to be in the house? And I'm thinking, man, we're looking at months, maybe by the end of the summer before the weather gets cold. I'd love to be in where we're going, because things are working at a certain pace. There are certain processes that take a certain requirement of time, that if we shortcut the process and we abandon midstream, we realize that we leave behind something that was partially developed. And the church has done that throughout the centuries so often. And what's in my heart now is just a commitment that God, don't let us lose this vision that you've put inside of us. Let us see something, not just birth. Let's not just see the seed form, but let's see this thing come to maturity. Let's see it grow and then continue to grow and to continue to reproduce, because I'm telling you, every seed reproduces after its own kind. And if we've been born of an incorruptible seed, when we begin to share life with people, they are going to want to know, what is going on with you? Where is this hope coming from? Why is it that you see something different about the future than I see? How can you watch the same news channel I watch and you get excited because you see that God's presenting opportunities for us? And meanwhile, I want to just go hide in the basement and, you know, fallout shelter someplace. Because we know that we're in the midst of the storm, not for the storm to destroy us, but for it to refine us, to bring us to the place where we see him face to face and he can say, well done, good and faithful servant, you've accomplished the things I left you to do. And that's what fuels us. That's the passion that we have. But we've got to realize there's this seed reality of what Jesus Christ has done in our hearts by his Spirit, that we have to walk through the process of seeing it grow into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. It's vital that we don't lose sight of that. It's vital that we maintain our patience and we maintain our direction through the midst of everything that we're facing. We're not born again of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, its flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. The gospel is simply the message that says there's an incorruptible seed that God wants to plant in you so that it can continue to grow and reproduce after the likeness of Christ. That's the message of the gospel. The good news is that it applies to anyone that's willing to allow him to live and to dwell inside of them. It's not exclusive. It's not just for people that have a flame on their car or whatever it is. I love seeing it pull in the parking lot. You see some Kingsfire flames. I mean, all that stuff's great. It's good. People, you know, can ask, what is that from? And you can invite them to church. It's all good stuff. But beyond all of that, we're born again of the seed of Christ. The one who came and hung in a place between heaven and earth suspended, so that because every man that hangs in that place is accursed, so that we could be blessed, so that we could have a vision, so that we could maintain and begin to grow the kingdom that he's designed for us to grow and to reproduce. You know, we're up on the property. I'll just throw this in quick. You know, we're cutting back trees and stuff. And I was just cutting back some stuff on an oak tree, and some old acorns just fell down. And I'm just thinking, if I pick that up, that thing has the same recipe that God gave it when it says that he created the plants of the field. You know, one of the days of creation is when he created the living things, the plants that grew. That thing has the same recipe still in it. You know how many times that recipe has gone into the ground, has everything around it has died. Out of it came a new shoot, a new sprig came up, began to take root, began to grow, matured into a full tree, dropped an acorn, and that acorn reproduced. That tree taps all the way back to when God said, here, let's make an oak tree. Let's make its seeds look like this.
Yeah.
You can connect back to, it's crazy. It's amazing, and the recipe is still there. It's still intact through the DNA. That's what this Peter's talking about. We're not born of a corruptible seed. We're born of an incorruptible seed. If you want to look at my son Jordan, people call him my mini-me or whatever. He's Jordan all by himself. But if you look at him, he's got aspects of Elaine and aspects of me. Oh, there's another one that looks a little bit like Mom and I. What are you doing, Chickie? You look beautiful. I like your tattoo on your cheek. When you see her, you see myself and you see my wife. But she's all unique. She's completely hers. She has her own DNA. Her recipe is unique to her. However, it came from two other recipes that came together. And when we realize that this is the design that God has established for our lives, that we would be born, again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed through our spirit, through the word, which is spirit, through truth spoken, through scripture memorized and taken into you, so that you can begin to realize, I am a new creature in Christ. I'm not the old recipe anymore. I have aspects of my parents, but I'm me. I have Christ in me. He's my hope of glory. Not that I don't depend on whether the pastor preaches good or whether he turns me to the right scriptures. I have Christ in me. I don't have to find the right song on the radio to have a moment with the Lord. I have Christ living in me through the incorruptible seed. And when it's small and it first happens, sometimes it's hard to find that place. It's hard to say, well, how, it doesn't feel much different this morning than it did yesterday. But you've got to get into the Word. It says that it comes through the Word by which the gospel was preached to you. I'm telling you the truth. If you'll take this truth and you'll apply it, you'll see it begin to produce in your life something different than you'd find if you'd ignored it. So now there's no break in chapters the way this was all put in just for the sake of organization. So let's go to the very next word, even though it's chapter, I believe it starts chapter 2. Therefore, just connecting to what it says, the gospel was preached to you. The word endures forever. This incorruptible seed never dies, carries us into eternity. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, I was so overwhelmed as Carrie just began to share about, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Peter's saying the same thing. Thousands of years ago, he says, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, when you taste of His goodness, when you taste of His graciousness, there's just something about that experience that you can't go back and see something else that's destructive and think and be confused and think that it's good anymore. All of a sudden, life and the things that it throws at us is exposed for the fact that on its best day, it's still just life on planet Earth. There's still a place that we're going to that is so far beyond this that Jesus had to go all those years ago to prepare it for us in the heart of the Father for us to have that as our final destination. He said, get excited about that. Don't get excited about the work you're doing now. Get excited about that. When you're excited about that, the work you do here will far be superior to anything you were going to do before you saw that. When teams see the victory and they know they already won, man, they play a whole different way. When every shot they're taking, they're wondering, man, is it going to go or not? You see what happened to Jordan Spieth? I'm sorry, I'm just going with this for a minute. I don't know if anybody follow golf at all. This guy was a phenomenon. He was setting all the records for the youngest guy and all this. Not a lot of golf. Any golfers? Not even one. Anyway, just me. Okay. Yeah, my dad raises it. Don't play. Not miniature golf. Golf. Anyways, an amazing legend, breaking some of Tiger Woods' records. You ever heard of Tiger Woods? Yeah. You don't play golf, but you still know him. Jordan Spieth, young, was he 21? I don't even know the exact. So 21, so young, and breaking all these records for these accomplishments. He had one moment at a tournament where he was in the lead, was supposed to win, and he just totally crumbled and he melted down. And he hit like 8 or 9 shots on a par 3. Just totally melted down. He still hasn't recovered. He took a month off. He's trying to figure out what happened. Just one moment of failure. And he's not able to move beyond it. He hasn't been able to figure out. He's just so nervous. Everything that he's doing, the eyes of the world are watching this new phenomenon. Just he's crumbled under the pressure. His muscles didn't change. Nothing changed. Just the way that he's thinking about what he was doing naturally suddenly changed. And we have to realize that if we're going to make this work, if we're going to find the place God has for us, that there's an understanding that life sometimes throws us things. But if our end target is good and the place of these prepared for us, we're going to find a way to work through all the other stuff. But when the stuff of life becomes our end game, one thing cracks in that foundation and the whole thing falls apart. We no longer have a process and a space for that. We lose our bearings, we lose our thing, and we're looking around, who to blame, what, does God hate me now? And everything, you see it, you've seen people do that. I'm a pastor, so I get to see it just about every week. Thank not too much. The word has taken root in people's hearts, and there's a growing and a maturing that's coming. But folks, we have to remember where we're going. So that as we get there, we can embrace the process, and we can love people in the process, and we can get there together. Because we're supposed to grow into this place. So let's continue to read. Desire the pure milk that you may grow thereby, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. I'm going to have to take a drink or I'm going to be whispering in a minute. Then we'll really be sleeping. Let me go back to the first verse before I continue. It says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know, without food, it's hard for us in America to understand, but without food, you die. We don't encounter that. Yeah, I know the billboards say one in whatever Americans is hungry, but not the kind of hunger that when you travel abroad, you see. And if you don't eat, you die. You certainly don't grow. If you have just barely enough food, you'll survive, but you will not grow to what you're supposed to look like. You'll be dwarfed. You'll be stunted. There's certain parts of you that won't develop the way that they're supposed to be. You have to eat. Amen. We have to eat. Peter is saying, listen, there's this milk that comes, the pure milk of the word. There's stuff in the scripture that describes who we actually are, who we are because of what Jesus did. And when we begin to look at that, we begin to allow that to fill us, we begin to realize, listen, it doesn't matter if I make a bad shot or if I have a meltdown on a game. I'm coming back next time. Because my whole life wasn't built on just one thing I could do good. Do we understand this? So much of what causes people to unravel, why this nation is unraveling, is because there were some things that America did really great, and we're not doing them anymore. And all of a sudden, the core identity of who we are is being revealed, that we were building on stuff. We were building on what we can do instead of who we truly were. Who we are as a nation, as an ambassador of freedom, as protectors of liberty and human rights. These things have been eroded, they've been whittled away at, and we find ourselves in a position where we can't do the stuff that we did anymore because there's no resource, the foundation has been eroded. Peter is saying, guys, there's a pure milk of the word that you have to continue to eat. You have to continue to bring it into you because that's what's going to fuel and feed the incorruptible seed that's within you. Pastor Don, I'm pretty much just pinching his message even though I wasn't there. He told me one scripture and so this all just came out of that. Thanks, brother. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, Paul's writing to Galatians, my little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. This idea that Christ is growing in us, that he's complete, he's not fragmented, the recipe is secure and solid, everything that he never needs to be in us is already in us, but it's growing in us. There's a growing from glory to glory that we have to be willing to embrace. If we don't see it for what it is, we get frustrated and feel like things aren't happening, and we are the ones that turn our back on the process. But we have to be feeding ourselves with the right stuff. Yes, sir. We live in an environment where people will try to feed you with every kind of possible thing. Most of it's toxic. It's got preservatives in it that are actually going to kill you. We don't even have the time. We're so busy to think about these things. And realize that what we eat is so vital, important. It's happening in the natural. We're being made into toxic. Our bodies are toxic. Go to any nutritionist. The first thing they walk you through is a complete liver, kidney cleanse. The stuff that comes out of people is really crazy. Right, Paul? Just seen Paul back there. Paul's into that. He was shocked the first time. We won't get into details. But I want to tell you something. Stuff naturally sticks to us. And it happens in the spirit as well. Little offenses, little things that we prayed about and it didn't happen. Little things begin to come into our space and begin to just toxify our spirit, our faith. And we have to sometimes realize, what am I feeding myself? If you're just feeding yourself something that's been regurgitated from some preacher on TV or some musician that you love, you've got to get in the Word for yourself. This pure milk of the Word that Peter's talking about is when you say, God, I need to hear from you. The people that are preaching to me are reading this and they're preaching. Why? You preach to me. Don't you want that from the Lord? Don't you want to have a closer walk with Him? If He's the one you're going to stand before and He's going to judge your life and He's going to review everything that you've ever done and no one's there with you. It's just you and Him. Wouldn't you want to know Him as best you possibly could? Especially knowing that the pure milk of the Word is what's there to help you grow and to see what really matters. Amen, amen. See, as people mature, they begin to see what really matters. Yes. They see what's really worth their time. They realize it's not video games. It's not Matchbox cars. It's not the stuff that as kids, none of those things are wrong. But as kids, those are all that really matter. And as you get older, you mature, you realize, man, things that I didn't used to think are important are now important. Priorities begin to change. All of a sudden, investments, the way you spend money, begins to change. Why? Because you realize what really matters. And then you get a little older and you realize again, well, I thought what I mattered in my 20s and 30s, I thought I had finally realized. No, now different things matter. It's a process of growth. It continues until the very end. And we're continually realizing that our tastes are changing. And it's funny, it's not just food. Our clothing tastes changes too. I remember... my dad always gets nervous. I think you can tell. I always take a quick glance before I'm about to say something to see if he's onto it, and he usually is. He's got a funny little smirk on his face. I remember, you know, those white socks with the like two or three stripes or multicolor stripes across the like mid-calf? I used to think, I really did. Like when I was in high school, I thought my dad wore those to the beach just to like embarrass us as his kids. I thought that's the only reason that he did it. I really did. I thought, man, we could tease him. We'd be like, Dad, what are you doing? And then he'd pull him down. He got a tan line up like mid-calf. He couldn't possibly think it looks good. But the fact is, he liked the way it looked. And my mom didn't have whatever it took to stop. I don't know. I don't think she liked it, but she didn't. I feel better. She's shaking her head. No, I didn't like it. But in his mind, he thought it looked good. I mean, I'm not perfect. I got a black belt, brown shoes, blue jeans. You know, it's all off, but I like it. I like the way this looks. So I dress that way. As you get older, your priorities shift. I'm not trying to please my peer group. I'm not trying to fit in at school. I don't care. If it looks good to me, my wife said, well, you got a black belt. You should have a brown belt. You should wear your black shoes because you got a black belt. I'm like, no, I like the way this, I like it. I like the way there's blue in the shirt. There's red. I just like it. It just, when I look in the mirror, it looks good to me. So that's what I wear. And if I get too out of control, I know I've got some kids that will help me. Unlike us for my dad, I mean, we could have had to hold him down. Sis, right? I mean, I couldn't say I'm proud. When you're walking on the beach with your dad and he's looking like that, it's not like you're like, you need a little space, right? Behind or in front? Nobody really liked it. Does he still have them? No. Summer's coming. We'll get a 4th of July is coming. We'll get a visual soon. I think call you up for a demonstration, Dad. All right, let's leave Peter there. I want to be able to spend a minute here in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. You know, kids are vulnerable. I know we're supposed to be. I'm always preaching. You have to accept this like a child. Jesus said, don't forbid the kids. Let them come. If you can't receive this like a child, you know, there's that childlike faith that receives the fullness of the measure of what Jesus has for us. But then there's a growing that has to happen. You know, He doesn't desire for us to stay kids. He wants us to receive the kingdom as kids. And then He wants to train us how to use that revelation that a child can get so that we can become grown and we can become strong in what we're doing. Because children are vulnerable. They don't have the ability to defend themselves. And so in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, this is the key. I feel like this is the key that we all have to be able to get a hold of if we're going to grow into the place we've been talking about. Chapter 5, verse 12 through 14 says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you still need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." Now, the writer of Hebrews is writing this to a specific group of people. There was a group of people. This isn't just for everybody. This doesn't apply to everyone in this room, but maybe for some that it does. And I feel like in areas of my life, it still applies even to me. There's things that I should have just gotten a clue about and said, all right, yeah, I got it now. But I'm still sometimes needing to remind myself, it's okay. We should be teachers that you still need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, listen, there's nothing wrong with milk. It says that Peter said the pure milk is what causes us to begin to grow. It's what a seedling needs. It's what the incorruptible seed needs. But there's a time when we begin to grow from that all of a sudden our tastes change. I don't know about you, but there's stuff that I like now. I love Brussels sprouts now. I don't know what that's, I can't explain that. Some people are still like, maybe you haven't tried them, try them again maybe. It's been a while. If you cook, don't overcook them, you do them just right with garlic and butter, they're delicious. Brussels sprouts are amazing. As a kid, I would sit at the table until I fell asleep because my mom had that rule. You're going to finish your food on your plate. And you only had to maybe eat one, and if you complained, you got another one, and it kept piling. But eventually, you learned to eat what it was, but you hated it. Liver, same thing. Ugh. Just brutal stuff. That didn't change. That's not a good example because that one never changed for me. You know, but Brussels sprouts, artichokes, things that as kids you're thinking, oh, this doesn't taste right. All of a sudden now vegetables, a pan fried, a flash pan fried garlic and oil vegetables is amazing. I could sit and eat a whole plate full of them. As a kid, it just makes your skin crawl. Your tastes begin to change. But that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Like there's things that you desire when you're a child, but if you continue to just desire those, you never grow to the place where you're eating steak and you're eating ribeyes and you're eating chicken and everything else that we were designed and created to eat. But the key is in the next part of this scripture because it tells us how it is that appetite comes. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Unskilled in the word of righteousness, okay? For he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Then he explains what that means. It doesn't just mean that you got old. You know, you can grow your whole life and just grow old. I mean, you can grow your whole life or you can just grow old. You don't, just growing old doesn't mean that you're growing. In this context of maturing, in the concept of being pursuing this word of righteousness, he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, when you begin to use something, when you begin to practice something, you begin to develop that skill. You begin to develop an appetite. If you've ever worked a hard day, you know how hungry you get at the end of a hard day. Amen. If you end up sitting on the couch, you're not feeling well, whatever, what goes? Your appetite. Because you're not burning. You're not actually out there burning the fuel that you put in for breakfast. So the appetite begins to diminish. A lot of what happens spiritually is that we don't exercise what we've been given. We don't exercise what we've already been feeding with milk, that part of us, that childlike part of us. We don't exercise it spiritually through more intensive prayer sessions, more worship, more speaking and sharing our faith. Whatever that next step is for you, maybe it's just raising your hands in worship. I know some people have amazing breakthroughs just because for so long they couldn't see the point or they didn't do it, and then they finally did it, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, something's changed. I feel different inside. It's little silly things sometimes, but whatever your threshold is, you've got a desire. You have to hunger the next thing that God has for you because God has something always more, always advancing, always the next food for your life, always ahead of where you're at. I don't care how far you've grown. I don't care how far I've grown. It doesn't matter. When you begin to exercise, I'm thinking, I'm just seeing Charlie over here. Charlie's over here, but he loves the word. After sermons, he would have a little discussion about some of the sermons that I used, and he'd have another scripture that he would bring into it. I'm like, man, this guy loves the word. And so an opportunity came over at Tenbrook. At the Birches, where Steve Campbell started a group over there for the seniors, and it grew to the point where it's like a dozen a lot of times, but sometimes Steve couldn't make it. So I was like, Charlie, why don't you go and see if you can help out over there with this group? How's your appetite now that you've been doing that every week? And you're in the Word, right? You're probably in the Word more now. You're exercising it more now. There's a smile on his face. Every time I see him, he's just bubbling. Not that he wasn't before, but there's a growth that's happening because he's exercising all those decades of being in the Word is now coming out of him. Yeah. There's an outlet for it, so now there's more desire to take more in. I guarantee you've got stuff in your Bible, Charlie, that you wrote in, new revelations that you wrote in since you started doing that class. Am I right? He has no room in that Bible. Trust me, the margins are all filled in. He's got stuff from all those years. But when you begin to give it away, new revelation begins to come. New energy begins to come. And so many of us are stuck someplace because we're not giving away what we've already got. Amen. We're not investing into where we need to invest. Our finances might be stuck because we haven't thrown in the extra bit of money. We already took the offering, so don't get crazy on me. But, although there's a card reader at the back. There is that. That's true. Don't want to shortchange you. No, but you haven't just made that one, whatever it is. A lot of people, it is money. For me, it was money. I remember as a pizza delivery guy, just not having enough money. My car kept breaking. I couldn't pay the insurance. I couldn't. Thankfully, my parents let me borrow theirs when mine couldn't be on the road. But, you know, there's just little things that I remember walking into church, and I had been, it was like Friday and Saturday and then Sunday. And if you ever delivered pizzas and that was where your money came from, Fridays and Saturday nights were the only nights you made any money. And I hadn't done anything with it. I hadn't put it in my drawer, so it was still in my pocket. It was just bulging in worship, and I just felt the Lord say, you're going to have to give that away. And then, wouldn't you know, a story came from the person taking the offering about when he had given all his money away. And I thought, what is going on? So I'm like, I just can't. I mean, and I wasn't even really walking with the Lord then, but I just knew the heart, as much energy as I was putting into life for the amount that I was getting out, it just wasn't adding up. I mean, I'm a workaholic. I'll work until I have to just pass out. I'll work and work and work. And I was doing all that, going to school full time, getting A's, working in a pizzeria 60, 70, 80 hours a week sometimes, opening and closing the shop, and then going out after that. And just this crazy life, but there was nothing. And I remember putting all that, it's just cash, you know, it's a big box, you always carry plenty of ones, you give somebody, you know, $19 in singles and change, there's a good chance you're going to get a pinch of that back, because who wants singles in their pocket, all these things that delivery guys know to do. I had this big wad, and it was a couple $100, it was basically everything that was going to get me through till the next Friday night. And I just remember putting it all in, and I remember just that sense of, it was like a mixed emotion of, all right, now what? Like, I'm an idiot mixed with, wow, you really did that with, man, that's awesome that you actually did that. There was like all this stuff going on in my head. But I tell you, something changed in my understanding about money, because some people cling to stuff so tightly that we can't hold on to the hope that he's established for us, because we've got stuff that we're hoping in, and it's all going to stay behind when we go. By reason of use, have their senses exercised, to be able to discern both good and evil. To be able to know what's the right thing to do. I don't know about you, but I want to do the right thing. Life is so stinking short. Things are flying by. Weeks are days. We just did this. This is insane. I woke up this morning, I'm like, we just did this. How could it be Sunday again? It doesn't make any sense. It's flying by. And I hear as you get older, it goes faster. So I don't know how that works, but it does. And I used to think, you know, you think your parents and everybody, they're just making it up, you know. But no, it does. It gets faster. It's crazy. But what are we doing that really matters? Amen. Are we allowing ourselves to grow up? Are we feeding ourselves with the milk of the Word that gives us a message that's the gospel by which we were saved, so that we can begin to give it away? I tell you, there's nothing more refreshing than giving away the message of the gospel, the message of who Jesus is. There's nothing that is more refreshing than that. Nothing will stir you up like finding somebody that doesn't know or that used to know and now walked away from it, and reminding them, we know the one that made this. We know the one that came and died in our place. We know the one that prepared a place for us that we're going to. We have a hope that exists completely regardless of what we experience on a day-to-day basis. Do you know how precious that is? Do you know how priceless that is? Do you know that the world is out there dying because they don't know and they haven't received and embraced? Let's just stand together. Because I'm praying this week that we're going to find it within ourselves to desire to begin to practice what we've already received. Father, you've sent Jesus, and on the inside of us, because of what he did, there's an incorruptible seed, and we're so thankful for that this morning.